And welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Friday, August the 7th. Yeah, we made it through the first work week of the month of August. A month that we turned the page and under normal conditions, if we can even remember when that was, schools would be getting ready to go back and teachers would be getting ready to go back and there wouldn't be a whole lot of fanfare as far as how they were going to go back and all. They've been doing it for a long time, but oh, what a difference 2020 has made. And so, yeah, schools amongst the COVID-19 that is ever rising and got some spots that are just tremendously high, just going to make it interesting. So we are going to put our hats off to the teachers and pray for them extra, extra, extra well. Well, let's start off by welcoming you aboard and saying thank you to some folks today. And we will start out with the AM signal, AM 720 WGCR, being sponsored by the Midway Bible Baptist Church in honor of their homecoming on Sunday. We'd like to say thank you to Midway. And that church holds a special place in my heart. We were members there back in the 90s, and my kids grew up in that church there. Their last part of their lives, I think, before we came over here to pastor Green River. So I think we started here, I think, oh boy, I shouldn't think. Third grade, was that when my son Josh was in the third grade and oldest was in the fifth? I believe I got that right. Yeah, I believe I got that right. But anyhow, the church holds a very special spot in our heart. And Brother Ricky Lee's the pastor there. And I listened to his broadcast on Sunday, and I still haven't forgotten the thing that's jumped out, leaped out of me, out of that message. There was a lot of wonderful things in it, trust me. But just sometimes something will grab hold of you. And he said, I'm more interested in what the Lord knows about me than what people think about me. And there is incredible truth in that statement. The Lord doesn't think something about us. He knows, and he has total, complete knowledge. And I am more interested in what God knows about me than what people think about me. So yeah, I like that. That is a incredible, wonderful way to look at that. And it's worth repeating. And I have pretty much repeated it over and over and over again. But thank you folks, Midway, for your sponsorship of this day. FM 94.9 in the Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Network, which includes WGCR.net, the preaching, music, and the video channels, being sponsored in honor of the ministry of Anchor Broadcasting and all the efforts put into Share-a-thon. And I say thank you, thank you, thank you to whoever it was that sponsored today, honoring Anchor Broadcasting. And I will say, though I'm part of the team when it comes to Share-a-thon, the preparations, getting ready for it. I was in Florida for a long time, and since I've been here, don't leave the house much, not a part of it. But I do remember before moving to Florida, all the things that went into place for that week. A week that we prayed would be a life-changing week. It just has always been, from the day that I time I ever went to a Share-a-thon in 1992, from that point on, I realized, yeah, they're raising the operating budget, but that's not what it's all about. It's all about being different. You walk in, there's a verse, and I want to say it's in Ezekiel, but it says they come in one gate and they leave by another gate. And I wrote in my devotional Bible, the Bible that I've had the longest. In fact, my first Bible, my very, very first Bible, when I got saved at the age of 14, It got so destroyed by kids at school messing with it, and I don't have it. It just was completely messed up, and I over time I don't even remember what happened to it, but I do know any of my earliest thoughts in the very, 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 very early days were in that one. And then I got another one just like it, except it was a different color. I still have it to this very day, and I got that one in the 73 or 74 is when I got that Bible, and I still have it, and it is my devotional Bible. And when I read through the Bible, and sometimes I read through it in a year and go slower, sometimes I read through it twice, sometimes I'll read through it once a quarter, which is four times. But you'll run across dates, and there are dates that, and next to it, it'll say God did this, or it'll be a date and it'll say very little, but I'll remember the date when I see it. And it's as I read my Bible every day, I have a chronicle of what God has done for me and the change. I mean, I read that verse going in one gate and out the other. In my Bible, I put, don't leave the same way you came in. Don't leave the same way you came in. Leave changed and transferred. There was a song years and years and years ago that said, I'm so tired of being stirred, but not being changed. Yeah, not being changed. I say, yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. So thank you to the folks that sponsored the FM and the network and the AM today. We appreciate it so very, very, very much. Happy birthday wishes going out today, Mr. Ian Daly, 16. I remember my 16th birthday. My mom took me down and I went to get my driver's license. The guy sat next to me. He told me what to do, had the most stoic face. You couldn't tell if he was even engaged in what he was doing. He didn't smile. He didn't, it was like he was just there. I could not read. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I must be flunking everything. And at the very end, he gave me a piece of paper and said, go get your birthday present, because I got it on my actual birthday. So, yeah, things have changed. Back then, you got a regular operator's license. Now we have graduated licenses. But happy birthday, anyhow. And Mildred Carver has a birthday today. I hope you've had a great day today on your birthday as well, and that you enjoyed every single minute of it. Amen. Well, the station recorded 85 and 60 with 0.16 inches of rain. We have reported here today a high of 81 with a low of 64. But somewhere around 1 something, 2 o'clock in the morning, it started thundering over here and raining. And by the time I got up, I think I was looking at 1.24 inches of rain. Well, then we had another some more rain this afternoon with no thunderstorms because the cloud cover kind of kept it back. But we added to that. And so far, we've recorded here in the rain gauge 1.46 inches of rain here. So other places, no, it's not been bad today. The cloud cover really helped. That was part of the good deal of that. But there has been some pesky storms in the western counties of Murphy and Franklin, Sky Valley, just on the South Carolina side, Highlands, Cashers, that some of them have just sat there, heavy cells, and they haven't moved much. One was just moving between right now between Rosman and Brevard, and I didn't refresh this. I should have. It might be even moved some more. And there's some back up towards Canton, Clyde, Waynesville, Maggie Valley, and then for a long time, there was a cell that sat over Asheville and a cell that was sitting over Hendersonville. That has all moved off finally. That was about an hour and a half ago. That is now down in the areas of Old Fort and Marion. So not a lot compared to the last few days going on there in the rain. So we kind of had a reprieve from that. And again, I don't know what it was like where you were at, but the cloud cover here seems to have been a blessing in putting a blanket on some things. Well, let's take a look, and we're going to start with I-40 westbound, and we're going to come and take a look as you pass the exit there by 23, and as you're traveling about a mile or so, you're going to slow down. No stoppage, but it's going to slow down for a while, almost. It's going to slow down almost to the next exit there, which I believe is the Smoky Park Highway, I believe. Then we're going to pick it back up and slow it back down again, more so, probably about 25, 30 mile an hour, all the way to Newfound Road, and then everything is good. Now let's backtrack and let's go backwards to 40 in the Ridgecrest, Black Mountain, Swannanoa area, and it is backed up pretty severely, and I'm talking about stoppage backup. You're just not hardly moving, and this is going to occur until Monday, and this is something you need to be aware of if you have any travel plans to bring you back in. If you're going out and need to come back in, or however it is, that this is construction. They're working on a bridge, and it is causing, I mean, it's been this way all day long. It is a nightmare right now of construction. So it started this morning at 9 a.m., and it's going to run till 6 a.m. with continuous closures 24/7, Monday, August the 10th at 6 a.m. The left lane will be closed near exit 64, which is North Carolina 9, for this repair. Now, it is backed up on both sides of Highway 9. So it is taking a long time to clear. It starts way back, and I was trying to get a bearing there, just kind of where this is. If you're familiar with that area, the Ridgecrest Conference Center there, it's going to back up before that about a quarter of a mile, and it's going to stay that way all the way past exit 9 for about a mile or so. And it is a, so I mean, it is a stoppage. There's just no way around it. It's just not moving hardly at all. Nothing like we've been seeing in the traffic in Asheville. Yeah, we're seeing spottiness of real slow traffic in the downtown and just various places throughout the downtown core, but nothing that stopped. And we're looking at I-26 from Long Shoals Road across the French Broad. That's a little bit slow, but it is moving. That's the good news there. 191 Avery's Creek, that traffic light there, it has got some issues. And then 26 really has no other issues at that point, all the way down into Columbus. So we don't see any problems there. And traffic light Pisgah Forest, yeah, that's got some slowdown, especially coming out of the forest. There's a pretty good backup back. It's not way back, but it's not hardly moving. And sometimes you'll sit through that light. I've sat through it four times during the summer on many occasions trying to get somewhere, and people coming in and out there. So keep that in mind. Then let's drop down into Brevard, Old Hendersonville Highway and 64. Got some slowdowns there. Also at East Main Street and Broad Street, you got some slowdowns there at this juncture. So other than that, it's just not a bad traffic day there in the mountains. And that is good news on a Friday. And so let's take a look and see what's going on down into the area of Greenville and Spartanburg, where I know there's closures tonight coming. I think it starts at 9 o'clock, 385. And they're going to be doing some work there as well. So there'll be some issues to deal with through tomorrow morning while they work on some things. Well, we are showing a crash, and it's going to be up above the airport exit. It's I-85 southbound between exit 57, which is the GSP airport, and 56. The average speed right now is 22 miles an hour, and the distance that you're going to be slowing down is about 2 miles backwards towards Brockman-McClyman Road, towards Batesville Road. Southbound is where that is occurring this afternoon. Otherwise, you get down to Pelham Road, moderate traffic, not a lot of heavy traffic like we see. At the 85, Business 85 split in the area of Spartanburg, clear sailing in the southbound side till they get down to the area where that accident is. Anyhow, northbound side, a little bit heavier, but still moving with no problems. Let's take a look at I-26 in the county there, Spartanburg, and it looks actually pretty good. Don't see hardly any issues at all. Well, again, thank you for being with us on Friday as we wrap up the week. And the thing that I've been hearing, I have a lot of news sources. Some are audio feeds and some are print feeds and some are alerts. And it's really today the domination has been the COVID-19 spikes that are being seen amid the reopening of schools. That seems to be the big talk. And so I haven't done this all week, and I hadn't looked at it all week, to be honest. But I did today. The Johns Hopkins world count on their dashboard, we have crossed over by almost 200,000, the 19 million mark, headed towards 20 million global cases. The staggering number is the 716,735 deaths that have occurred around the world. But the United States, it is knocking at the door of 5 million. So right now, the United States is at 4 million, and I had the number here, and then I clicked on something. I shouldn't have done it and lost the number. So I'm going to backtrack, and I will redo, and I will tell you, 4,918,927. So we are on our way, and the United States deaths, 160,737. One of the reports I got today was that by December the 1st, on the rate that we're headed, what they're seeing could be 300,000, but they believe it could be curtailed if people would take the precautions. So, you know, just looking at all this, you see that there's a lot of issues. In fact, some states are really going. This is the latest that I could find. This is dated today, and it's from USA Today. So I'm not sure when the data was printed today. That's the latest they have, but when the actual data for each state, I don't know. But the first thing it shows me is states where there are really a growing number of COVID cases where it's causing issues. And there are states that are kind of interesting. Hawaii is one. So Puerto Rico, Texas. Then we jump up and in the Midwest, where they've been kind of low, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota. And then we'll come over and see Illinois and Indiana, Vermont, Massachusetts. So those are some of them. Now, Florida, of course, has been on the spiking list, but it's been there for some time. These are things they're starting to see that are concerning them. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. This one, just to show you the long spread of things, the highest, the top county case count in the United States, according to John Hopkins, is Los Angeles County. Not Los Angeles, the city, but the county. So that encompasses a whole lot more land area. So we're over on the West Coast, Pacific Ocean. The second highest confirmed, by the way, they have 201,200 cases confirmed. You got to go all the way to the East Coast and all the way down to the tip of the Panhandle, not the Keys, but to Miami-Dade County, where it's 127,677. Then this one, we go back out west, and I know that Maricopa County is in Arizona, so that's the next one. The next one's Cook County, and I know where that's at because I got my marriage license in Cook County, and that is Illinois because we were married at the Awana headquarters in the Chicago area, Illinois area, and Cook County is the Chicago area and what they call the suburbs, of which there are the southern, the northwestern, and a lot of suburbs that surround that of multiple named towns. And back in those days, Awana was in Rolling Meadows, and I believe it's, they moved to Streamwood. So the next one is Harris County. That is the Houston. Queens County, I got to say, that's got to be New York. And it is. So I'm right there. The next one would be Kings County, which is right next to it. Then we go back to Florida to Broward County, then back to Texas to Dallas. So you can kind of see those things happening there. And then we see there's Orange County. There's a lot of Orange counties. There's even Orlando is Orange County. There's also one in California. My guess, this is California, and it is. And that's Santa Ana area, Anaheim, and some of those areas. Then back to Florida, Palm Beach, Hillsborough's Tampa. By the way, Tampa, there was just a story about them and their teachers and how they're going to function this year. So it's kind of an interesting bag here. I've got a map, and I can just kind of pull up states randomly here. And so I'm going to go over to Virginia above us, and it says it was okay. It gives me an update. That's great. The date on this is July 29th, and they are saying that the restrictions are easing there in Virginia, and they're seeing for the 7 days ending August 2nd, the share of residents leaving their homes was about 0.91%, 91% less than the 7 days prior. So we see some of that. Then we'll go down below us, South Carolina, and we know that they are allowed to go back to school, but many are opting for virtual school. And so teachers have to deal with being ready to do either one. And let me say, I love teaching. I never dreamed I'd be a teacher. I never thought about being a teacher. But back in my childhood, at the end of every single school year, when I get all my work back, I would go in my bedroom and play teacher. Never thought about it. I mean, I just never thought much about it. It just didn't cross my mind that I wasn't even saved then. When I was 14 and got saved and started going to church, the pastor that I was under, his wife invited me to junior church. Evidently, that's all I can think, is she saw something in me that said, he wants to teach. He loves to teach. I was so scared and shy and backwards in those days. And she said, now here's what I'm going to do. these are the flannel pieces. Anybody, I said that there's probably a whole bunch of people that say, what? Y'all remember flannel graph? I used to get flannel graph stories. I'd buy them from the Christian bookstore. And back then there was an organization called Child Evangelism Fellowship that always put a flannel story with the flannel pieces in the middle of their magazine. And I had, when I was 14, 15, I already had a file of flannel graph. And anybody use flannel graph, you know what I'm talking about. You put the piece of their felt and they stick to the board. And she said, when I tell the story, you put up the figures. Well, I was a nervous wreck because I didn't know if I really knew when to put up the figures. And so I did that for weeks. And then she said to me, now, next week, you're going to tell the story, and I'm going to put up the flannel graph pieces. Well, I went from being a nervous wreck to having the earliest heart attack because I just did not think I could stand in front of people, honestly, and do that. I just didn't think I had it in me. But I really enjoyed teaching. And I have taught, for the most part, I have taught high school, junior high school, and college. It is not my calling for elementary. That's not, my hat's off to every elementary teacher. And I know elementary teachers say their calling is not high school. And I get that. It's a totally different world of students. But since I have been here, and since I've come back and had the restrictions before COVID-19, had the restrictions of when I'm not doing good or immune system's bad, of teaching the Bible college through technology versus the times that I felt good enough to go over there, I am one who likes to be in the classroom. But I'm grateful for the technology that allows me to keep teaching, because that will take a miracle for me to be able to do that again. So I'm grateful for it. But I actually would, I like the interaction. I like to see, first of all, I am a teacher that sees everything. And sometimes with technology, you can't see everything. And I'm watching constantly. And not for bad behavior. Although you will see that, and you'll pick it up and you'll deal with it, because that's just the nature of the beast. I'm looking at faces. If you watch faces, teachers, you know, you look at someone and you say, they're checked out. They're not even in the game here. You'll watch another face and you know they're in the game, but they don't get it. No lights turning on. And then you'll see, well, that they're just getting it. And then you'll see one more group, they're not getting it, but then all of a sudden, the light goes on. And when you watch, you can tell who it is that is engaged and who's not engaged. And out of those that are engaged, whether they're getting it or not getting it. And so there is something to be said for that. So this crazy pandemic makes it difficult for the way that we teach. And I believe that Jesus, the master teacher, was very, very good, great at his ability to illustrate. Because when you read the Bible, you weren't there. But when I hear him say, consider the lilies, I just believe there was a bunch of lilies, and he pointed to them and pointed them out. Look at them. Consider the lilies. Consider this. Look at this. And they went by, and we know in this one, they were walking, and they went by a vineyard. And they would understand the culture of a vineyard and the grape and how it's going. And he started saying, I'm the vine. Ye are the branches. See? And he always was, it was things that make what you're teaching be remembered so that you remember it. Now, I remember a teacher way, way, way back that was teaching, and I was young in the Lord, and he was doing his lesson on the splitting of the kingdom. And Rehoboam should have not done what he did, and should have been the king, and we could have continued with the United Kingdom, though that was not what God had in mind. But if they'd obeyed God, that they should have been, and Jeroboam was not. And so he made this comment, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. He said, Rehoboam should have been the real king, and Jeroboam is the one who jerked the kingdom and split it. And I've never forgotten that, and that goes as far back as I can remember. So teachers, they work hard because they want, a great teacher wants, now listen carefully, a great teacher doesn't want their students just to learn. They want them to learn and grow, and they actually teach so that hoping that they will outperform them someday. They're trying to pull them to excellence. That's why Paul said. So in this COVID-19 craziness that we are in, we've got hybrid models, shutdowns, and going all in, and 25% occupancy in the school. So we're going to have so many kids on Monday, so many on Tuesday, so many on Wednesday, so many on Thursday, and everybody's home. It makes what they do that much harder in a world of a pandemic that is getting worse every day by the numbers. And so our hats are off to you. Wanted to spend some time today honoring you, thanking you for what you're about to do, and what you have been doing all summer, trying to get ready for ABC, not knowing until close to the last minute which one it is you would have to do. I taught a student in Lakeland, Florida, and when I first arrived at the school, he was in the 10th grade, and he was in the class that I sponsored from 10th grade till they graduated. And he was at my blackboard writing, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing the rock formations in order. I'm going to be a geologist someday. Well, lo and behold, time goes by, and years go by, and through Facebook, I see that he is a professor at a university, and he teaches all of this stuff about geology. And his posts over the COVID shutdown were, as you're to his other teachers, what are you doing to get that? They were communicating back and forth to each other, trying to get to the place where, how are we handling this? Then as they were getting ready for the new school year, because of the restrictions, they were doing it again. And I just felt for him because I know what his heart was. And I know I could tell by watching him, he's one of those teachers that watches and wants them to get it. And so it is a difficult thing for the new school year. It's a challenge. But one thing I know, teachers are great at making things happen. If you know anything about a classroom can change in a second for the good or for the bad. And teachers that taught, by the way, I guess I hear things come to my mind if I don't say them. I had a principal tell me this one time. He said, there's two ways to get 25 years experience of teaching. Teach for 25 years or evaluate everything you do at the end of each semester and say what went right, why, what made it work, what went wrong, why, what made it not work, and reevaluate and keep working and make it better so you can be better the next semester and the next semester and the next semester. And he said, and at the end of 25 years, you will truly have 25 years of experience. And I've never forgotten that either. So very, very, very grateful for people and mentors and folks in my life who have said things that encouraged me and that I've never forgotten. And by the way, almost every one of them that said or did something in my life has been a teacher or a preacher or an evangelist or some missionary that came through. That's been a lot of my life and what it's been. And I bet you can say the same thing. I bet you can say the same. You've got a teacher that you're thinking about, and they really challenged you, and you remember them well, and you appreciate what they did for you. There's so many things that come to my mind when I think about teaching students. When I was teaching computer science one year, I was teaching them how to do applications, things like word processing. And when we got to spreadsheets, we got formulas and things. I had a girl that just wasn't getting it. And we were doing a budget, a household budget. And it was just, she wasn't interested in it to begin with. So I changed her budget and I said, instead of calling it phone, rent, utilities, and those things, let's call it this. This is shoes. These are dress-up outfits. These are casual outfits. And these are special occasion outfits. Now, you make this much money. You want to make your budget fit so that you can have what you want in these areas. All of a sudden, she was ready to go. And I knew she loved to shop. And that was the thing that clicked it on for her and changed everything. So those little things you can do. So today, as we come to the end of the week and the end of this time together, I would like to have a special prayer for our teachers as they go back at different times. Do want to say, continue please to remember Pastor Barton in prayer and his recovery as he is a little over a week out from surgery. Pray for Miss Joanna. We know that the day after surgery, in the first 3 days really are some tough days, and then you have your ups and downs after that. So we want to continue to pray for her and this dear lady that had surgery, that was finally able to go into a regular room. We want to lift them up and others who are going through hard times, especially pray for our teachers. Our Father, thank you for being able to just to beat and just kind of talk about these things that people are going through and be able to tip our hats to our teachers and say, I know that in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like what they're dealing with. Just say thank you that they take the time, the preparation, the prayers, and the planning to make the school year the best it can be under whatever set of circumstances that are ever changing. Could be different in a few weeks. Would you encourage them and let them know people are praying for them? And those that know you as Savior, wrap your loving arms of love around them and let them know you are with them. And I pray, Lord, you would protect them in this new school year as it starts to see schools go back little by little this month. Continue to be with those who've had surgeries to recover with managing of pain, especially, and being able to get that under control and with great, awesome healing. Give our preachers the messages for the hour on Sunday, and may they, through the Word of God, encourage the saints of God through that wonderful Word to keep on keeping on, knowing that one day we're going to leave out of here. Till then, somebody needs to come with us. We need to find and tell somebody about Jesus. Lord, we will thank you in the most precious name that we know, Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is Pastor Walton in for Pastor Barton, praying you have an absolutely wonderful weekend.